North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un has now received the plan from his country's military for a missile attack on the US territory of Guam. He will now decide whether to use it. The country's state news agency is already reporting, though, that the leader has ordered North Korea's defence forces to be ready to strike at all times. Thomas Ariti has the latest.
North Korea's media is warning the US that Kim Jong-un is watching it closely, and he's calling on President Donald Trump to make the right choice in the conflict because his army is ready to strike. The stern warning comes just hours after US Defense Secretary Jim Mattis was asked about the consequences if North Korea fired a missile at Guam.
We'll know if it's going towards Guam within moments.
I think there's a general concern among my friends, and I'm sure many others, who don't follow this business as closely, that that sort of thing could escalate into war.
Well, I think if they fire at the United States, it could escalate into war very quickly. Yes, that's called war.
Then he was pressed on the issue, and he made his feelings even clearer about how the US would respond in the event of an attack.
You just said if they launch towards the United States. So can you help?
If they shoot at the United States, I'm assuming they hit the United States.
That's what I wanted to ask.
If they do that, then it's game on. And we'll try our best to make sure it does not hit the United States.
But Guam, we'll
know that's where it's going.
Guam is the United States.
Yeah, it sure is.
Okay, so if you assess the trajectory very quickly, hits Guam, I understand you to mean
we'll take it out.
Earlier, during a visit to Colombia, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence said that all options were on the table, and that includes marshalling the support of U.S. allies in the region, as well as China, in what he called unprecedented ways. The aim, to isolate the rogue state economically and diplomatically.
Now, for several decades, the United States has embraced the failed policies of strategic patience with regard to North Korea. Successive administrations in both political parties have believed that negotiation and patience with North Korea would achieve the long-term objective of the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
But according to some observers, denuclearization is a pipe dream. Former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper spoke to CNN.
Ideally, I'd love a denuclearized North Korea, but as I learned when I went there and had some pretty intense dialogue with them, that is a non-starter with them. That is their ticket to survival, and I don't see any way they're going to give it up. So I think our thought process here ought to be on accepting it and trying to cap it or control it. But I think a denuclearized North Korea, I'd love to see it, but I don't think that's in the cards.
Here in Australia, experts aren't surprised about the latest developments. Andrew David Jackson is the Korean Studies convener at Monash University.
15th of August is a very extremely significant day in Korea, both in South Korea and North Korea. It's National Liberation Day, which is liberation from the Japanese imperialism in 1945. So it's celebrated in both South and North Korea. The North Koreans like to raise attention, if you like, on these significant days, like on 4th of July they set off a missile that was capable of hitting Alaska. So it's not a surprise. Yes, it is saber-rattling, but it's very worrying saber-rattling.
But despite the tough rhetoric, he doesn't think the conflict will continue to escalate.
I think we will see a political solution. Neither side can afford any kind of military conflict. So I think they will continue the provocations just short of that final tipping into war.
Others agree. Dr. Ewan Graham is the director of the International Security Program at the Lowy Institute.
The threat to Guam, on surface value, it seemed extremely precise in terms of the coordinates that were given, the time of flight, the area that it would land. That, of course, all looks very chilling, but there's no indication that that launch is about to take place, even if preparations are seen. I would still take that with some pinch of salt.
And as for the latest comments from Defence Secretary Jim Mattis, he says the US will still seek a diplomatic solution.
Let's not take Mr. Mattis' statement on that in isolation. He has also just written an opinion editorial with his colleague, the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, in which they also stressed that diplomacy would come first, that there would be economic levers of coercion that would be applied, and that the US is not seeking regime change or accelerated reunification of the peninsula. So I think there is a clear, if you like, dual signaling to that, that if the North Koreans do escalate in the form of a missile launched at Guam, the US would defend itself. But I think what the calming attempt at the senior levels of the US military and the US administration is also to try and back down from the sort of cycle to conflict that we've seen in a more dangerous fashion, given the president's comments about fire and fury on which he doubled down.
That's Dr. Ewan Graham from the Lowy Institute, ending Thomas Ariti's report. The Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, says Australia will continue to work with its allies to place pressure on the North Korean regime. Here's some of what she said to reporters in Canberra.
I can confirm that Australia has designated 37 individuals and 31 entities whom we believe have been involved in some way in North Korea's nuclear tests and ballistic missile tests. We welcome the news overnight that China is fully implementing UN Security Council resolutions imposing the toughest and most comprehensive package of sanctions on North Korea to date, and China has stated that it will be completely prohibiting the import from North Korea of coal, oil, iron ore and seafood. Australia continues to urge all countries to uphold the authority of the UN Security Council, impose the sanctions universally, and to ensure that whatever diplomatic or economic leverage they have with North Korea, that it be used to the fullest extent.
That's Australia's Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop.